Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to an on-the-road edition of the Preacher and the Miracle Man show here on this Tuesday, October 16th, here this time from Atlanta, Georgia. Tucker, Georgia, actually, but Metro Atlanta area. My hotel where I'm at is literally 1 to 2 miles just outside of the Atlanta city limits. We're kind of like just a little bit east of the county line over in DeKalb County. And we're here. I'm really enjoying myself. Me and my mom. Someone else are here for a few days. Yesterday I was actually in one of my other favorite cities of this great country, Chattanooga, Tennessee. One of my favorites. We walked across one of the world's longest pedestrian bridges, Walnut Street Bridge, and went to a great fried chicken place there in Chattanooga, along with some other locations. It is called Champy's Fried Chicken. And if you're in Chattanooga or near Nashville, or there's a few others in Alabama and Mississippi, I believe, go check them out for yourself. Amazing food. You'll be glad you went there. Also went to Julie Darling Donuts over there on Fraser Avenue, downtown Chattanooga, right near the Walnut Street Bridge in Coolidge Park. I got myself 3 amazingly delicious donuts. I ate 2 of them already. The one I got right after I went to the donut shop, because you go to the donut shop to get some donuts. Don't say, oh yeah, I got a dozen donuts. I'm just going to take them home, and I'm not even going to eat the first one for 6, 8, 10 hours or whatever. You're probably not telling the truth if that's what you're thinking. The truth is you're probably going to eat one of them. And, Mom, am I right? Brenda, am I right? Is that what happens?
Yep, that's what happens.
See? Yep. Although, of course, I didn't promise to wait 8, 10 hours to eat it. I knew I was going to eat one after I got it, but I was just saying. But Julie Darling Donuts right there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Amazing donuts, great people. I got myself a banana pudding donut with vanilla wafers on top of it. And then I had a blueberry cheesecake donut. And then the donut I'm going to have tomorrow morning, right after I'm finished with my breakfast, is the Oreo donut. I've been to that donut shop 2 other times, and both times I had to get the Oreo donut. It is that good. And whenever I go through that area, it's kind of one of those have-tos, kind of like Champy's Chicken when you're going through the Chattanooga area. Today, what have I been up to? Well, we went downtown. We actually took a train down there, MARTA train, Blue Line, actually. And we took it from a train station out in the suburbs down into downtown. And station was actually very close to the freeway, which is really cool. Me and a friend have praised Atlanta's train station because it goes very close to two key malls, unlike Chicago's train station. Both Chicago's city CTA system, as well as the Metra rail for the suburbs, in neither case, is the train station like right next to the mall, especially with Metro. Because, Mom, believe it or not, even that Schaumburg, which has a train station in it, Schaumburg has a train station, but it's not near Woodfield Mall. In fact, it's 3 miles away from it. It's also not by any hotels, unlike the Atlanta ones. So that's kind of sort of why I say, I mean, every city's train system is different. You know, all the cities that have it. Chicago area is different than Atlanta area. Chicago areas might be a lot more vast and a lot more coverage, but I like train stations to be like near where people would use them who are from out of town. Like near the hotels, near the malls, near the having the train stations right there. Because a lot of times it can be a lot easier to just take a train, especially if there's only four of them, like Atlanta has, as opposed to, you know, 20, 30 or more bus lines, which is what a city like the size of Chicago, I mean, Atlanta, or much bigger like Chicago has. Like a city of this size, it can be a lot more efficient to just go take a train. That makes sense, doesn't it? Because then there's not as many of them. I mean, different lines, you know. Because then there's only four lines, you know, it's one of the four. But, okay. So we did that. We went to the World of Coca-Cola outside of it. All right. Time to do a peel off. Let's see, Mom. Okay, what is this?
Oh, not a winner.
What'd you get?
I got 250 points.
Oh, that's cool. Yep, we did a live deal, and to remind you, the game is still going on. The game must go on, just like the show must go on. Of the McDonald's Trick Treat Win sweepstakes. Now, I did go by the Roller Coca-Cola factory. I did shoot a video, which will be sent to Preacher Man if it hasn't been already. It is telling Preacher Man, basically, what I've been saying all along, that Dr. Pepper does not stand a chance against Coca-Cola at all. Neither does Pepsi. In fact,
not even a Dr. Pepper bomb. Not even Dr. Pepper anything like
it. They don't have it. They don't have it.
No Hall of Fame.
They don't have a Hall of Fame. Dr. Pepper don't have a Hall of Fame. Coke does. It's because Coca-Cola is the best soft drink you can drink. In whatever flavor you choose. People can say, well, it's got to be the classic flavor. No, it doesn't. In fact, it wouldn't matter if all you ever drank was vanilla Coke and never had a sip of classic Coke in your life. It's still the same Coca-Cola brand. It's just, you choose what your flavor is. Is it classic? Is it cherry? Is it vanilla? In some places, they're starting to do cinnamon. I'm not sure if it's in this country yet, but I would actually like it in this country. I think it'd be different. I kind of like it. I think because I've never seen anything like that yet. So I'd have to. I also got to go inside of the concourse of, like, the just inside the concourse of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And it is a very nice, awesome facility. It's beautiful. That falcon is, they have a falcon right outside. Someone said it was an eagle, but I had to explain that the eagles are in Philadelphia. In Atlanta, it's the falcons. Yes, both are birds, and I can see why they were confused. But not the case. Eagles and falcons, both are birds as well. And we did spend some time by the pool earlier today. And yes, I did get some suntan. My mom wouldn't let me steal it away from her, though. Also, we've been having problems with the GPS finding a Starbucks for my mother. We've been having very serious problems. Okay, it's not the worst thing that could ever go wrong, but I'm just saying, you know, for whatever reason, we haven't been able to find a Starbucks. Well, when McDonald's was put into the GPS, we found it first try. So we could go get those tickets. One more thing on all this stuff before I open up the word, pray and open up the word, because I want to take a little bit to sow the word of the Lord into your life. Please let me do that, folks. Please let me do that, because it wouldn't be the Miracle Man Show if I didn't take some time, open the Bible, and help build up your faith. Amen. Well, one thing is, we went to a restaurant. We just got back from dinner a little bit ago from a restaurant called Folks Southern Kitchen. Folks Southern Kitchen, right there on La Vista Road and I-285 in Atlanta. If you're coming from up north somewhere, you'll want to go take 75 down to 285, and then take 285 east through the Spaghetti Junction, and then south to exit 37. What?
We just got a message from Sam Cottle saying, just try to go to the Dr. Pepper plant. You will be surprised how they treat you.
Oh, boy. It sounds to me like I just got slammed by the preacher man. Ooh, boy. The Dr. Pepper plant doesn't exist. Yeah, there's a factory, but there might be a factory, but Dr. Pepper doesn't grow out of the ground. But Atlanta has a great big, has that World of Coke, and it has Atlanta's headquarters of Coca-Cola. But Folks Kitchen, awesome food, awesome service. And I had the catfish tonight with fries and mac and cheese. This is the first time I had been to this restaurant. I saw it on Yelp looking for just what was near this hotel. I actually did it before I left Michigan, and I found it because when I come down south, I like to go to the southern places. It is something that it's just kind of like I've discovered that. That's how you can get, part of how you can get the most out of it when you come down to a place like this. A lot of times it's where you find some of the most friendly people. All right. Now, we're going to going to pray, and then we're going to open up the word of the Lord. We're going to get the word of the Lord into your life this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you for these people who have chosen to join me, wherever they are, whoever they are, whether they be in Michigan or another state in this country or across the ocean. For all I know, one of them might be near where I'm at. But wherever they are, Lord, may you bless them for choosing to come on this program and study the word with me tonight. I thank you, Lord God, also that your miracle working power would be made known to these people. May they receive miracles from you. Thank you that they're ready to receive your word, the incorruptible, indestructible, perfect word of God. Thank you that their hearts are ready to receive and their ears are ready to hear the word. Their ears are wide open so they can just hear, Lord, what you have to say. Lord, I thank you that you use me tonight as an oracle for you. I thank you that you would just have full fledge in me, the speaker, as we read some verses and then as I exhort for a few minutes. Lord, and I just thank you that wherever these people are, they'll find you. And they will just choose to. Now, Lord, I also pray in your name that finances come to this program, new listeners come to this program, new equipment comes to this program, and partners and sponsors come to this program who want to help me do your work, Jesus. And most importantly, I claim that souls come into this program in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bible. Your Bibles, please, Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. Just want to encourage you. Whatever I do here in this hotel room, you do wherever you're at. If I sing tonight, song unto the Lord, you know the lyrics, you go ahead and sing. If I start praying in the Spirit, you go ahead and pray. As I begin reading the Bible, you go ahead and study with me. When I exhort, you pay attention. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I do have some sports, but right now that doesn't matter. Right now, I'm sowing the word of God into your life. Just let God speak to you as I read this. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not just made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man, when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. I like to add, but with faith, it is possible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That means diligence. That means you've decided that he's the most important thing. It's like when you're searching for the keys, only this time it's you with that relationship with God. Amen. Earnestly seek him. Verse 7. By faith Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear he built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came the descendants that were as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy a pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophet, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and he escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies. Routed. Like what I want Midland to do to Dow this week, just to totally humiliate them. Like, so they can just show that they should deserve to, I don't know, maybe get into the playoffs and maybe get a home game, maybe two, hopefully. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. Routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. Destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now we're going to read the first two verses of chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. All right. Now you see here, this chapter. He was talking about only together with us were those old timers they made perfect. Well, something comes to my mind here. God designed it so that we would have it even better off than what those old timers did. So that we would actually receive those things that we were believing for. Unlike those people like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they had great things happen to them that time. You didn't have the verses that say, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. Also, at that time, the Bible wasn't exactly written yet. They didn't have what we have today. Jesus didn't come around yet to Jake, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and tell them, faith comes by hearing. So you're going to have to hear my word. Go to church. Listen to people like Miracle Man to have your faith built up. Because faith comes by hearing, not reading. So you can't just get faith through your eyes. Try it. The faith doesn't come through your eyes. In order to have it put in, you gotta hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. As the Bible says, time and time again. All right. We found that Egyptians, when they tried to cross the Red Sea, they drowned, but not when those Israelites crossed it. God did miracles for them. The Red Sea was parted. Not for the Egyptians, though. They drowned in that water. They didn't have no lifeguards. No. But the Israelites had God on their side. Let me tell you something. When you're going through the battle, as hard as it might be, God's on your side. Guess what? If God's on your side, you can win the battle. God's on your side. And when God is on your side, all things are possible. All things are possible. But let me remind you of something, which one of Dr. Buckley's fathers in the faith said. If you have not won the battle in your mind, have not won the battle. If you don't win the battle in your mind, you won't win the battle. So you have to win the battle in your mind. You have to be in a place that you have a sound mind. So let's say you're faithfully believing for God to heal you of cancer or blindness or some heart thing or something, but your mind ain't right towards God. Well, what you need first, Bubba, is your mind to be healed, don't you? Because you're not winning the battle in your mind. You're not winning the battle at all unless you win the battle of your mind. You're not. That's why you must wash your mind with the water of the Word of God. You got to read your Bible. You got to read your Bible. You got to pray. You got to go to church. You have to, Christians. You have to. In this day and age, you don't have a choice but to get rooted and grounded in the house of God. Because all the pollutants of the day and everything else will try to get you. Try to say, it's not that bad. What's the big deal? Well, what's the big deal? Well, why? Your mind. That mind is the biggest thing that you've got to wash with the water of the Word of God. And guess what? You're not winning any battle unless you've won the battle with your mind. Oh, boy, once you got your mind right with God, that's when you're going to start winning the battles. That's when you're going to get the miracles come to pass in your finances, at your workplace, in your body, with your relatives, getting people saved, getting people delivered, getting people set free from things that have bound them for so long. Just want to challenge you. Yes, seek God. Yes, have faith. Yes. Do all that. But think, where is my mind at with God? Where am I at mentally with God? How am I doing mentally? What do I think about God? How do I act? What do I? And you've got to get your mind right with God so that the other miracles can happen. Because if you don't win the battle in your mind, you haven't won the battle. Because your mind is enmity between you and God. Every one of us has to work on this. We have to. So we just gotta kind of examine ourselves in this area. Say, Lord, where's my mind at towards you? I'm doing a show. I'm talking about how if you haven't won the battle of your mind, you haven't won the battle. That's what I was saying. Where's my mind at towards you, Jesus? What do I think about you? What do I think about other people towards you? Yes, in order to get those miracles that you're believing for, you must have the mind of Christ. There's no if you want to. It's how it is. Because you're not winning the battle until you win the battle of your mind. Well, even in Romans it says, don't be conformed unto this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's all kinds of verses all over the Bible that talk about, you've got to renew your mind. You've got to have that mindset, a great mindset towards God. That's why we always say, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but instead he's given us the spirit power, spirit of love, and a sound mind. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Lord Jesus, I pray right now over these people who are listening. I thank you, Lord God, every one of us, we're going to take to heart this challenge. We're going to check our hearts, check our mind. see, Jesus, where am I at with you? How am I doing, Lord? And I thank you that we will just have a right heart towards you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, sports. We're about to cut off really, really soon. But I will say this. This weekend, I picked 6 games. I said Midland would win and beat Bay City John Glenn. That happened. I said Dow would lose. That happened. I said Michigan would lose. Unfortunately, Michigan won. I said Michigan State would win. That happened. I said the Patriots would win. That happened. And I said the Steelers would beat the Bengals. That did happen. 5 for 6. 2 for 2 high school, 2 for 2 NFL, 1 for 2 college. And I will leave you at that. So until next time, folks, God first, God always. So long, y'all.